Welcome to Back on the Broomstick,
a modern witch's spoken word grimoire,
where two witchy friends from way back are reconnecting to their pagan roots after a long period of mundanity.
We're rewalking the path of the wise and trying out all the latest spells, rituals, and magical theory in today's witchcraft and pagan practices.
So grab your wand and your incense,
your cauldron and your crystals,
and join us
as we get
back on the broomstick.
Hi, and welcome to episode 50 of Back on the Broomstick. I'm Layla.
Wow, 50, and I am Shell, and I am shocked at the number 50.
Right? Can you believe it? I'm very impressed with us. We've lasted over a year.
You know, I'm not really that surprised, and let me tell you real quick why. Because I love you, and you love me, and this is really just us hanging out, so how would it not be great?
That's very true. You did push for this from the very beginning, and I was just like, who's going to want to hang out with us while we just talk and reminisce about witchy shit?
Our
and
people.
You're like, just do it. Just do it. So we did. And we found our people, and I'm loving it.
Well, to all of our listeners out there, thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you helping me prove Layla wrong.
And thank you all for the birthday wishes. That was really cool. I loved seeing all of those. You're amazing. And to all my birthday twins, happy fucking birthday to us, and happy birthday to all you February Aquarians out there.
I was actually jealous. I was like, man, I wish it was my birthday. Everybody's wishing Layla happy birthday, and here I am. So I can't wait till it's my birthday, damn it.
Well, it kind of almost was your birthday just before our 1 year anniversary, because I surprised us both with beautiful custom made sister brooms from the hags Monica and Hesper over at Three Moon Brooms, who make gorgeous, gorgeous base homes.
Now, guys, I have a funny story for you here real quick. So if you're a regular listener, and if you're not, go back to the last few episodes, because this was a running story. Layla tortured me for weeks. Weeks.
Weeks. It was weeks. Glorious.
Oh, I got a present. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Ha, 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 ha.
Loved every second of it.
Then made me sit all day, the day it got delivered. Gets delivered at 10 in the morning. She makes me wait till like 5 in the afternoon before I'm allowed to open it, as I'm staring at this thing all day.
Just so I could get a video of her opening it.
And she's like laughing, having a good time with it. I get my broom. Guess whose broom doesn't show up? Layla's. So
yeah.
I kept ripping her and saying, oh, this is your karmic retribution. You want to pick on me? You ain't getting your broom. And I kind of put some shit out there inadvertently. So be careful what you say out loud, folks. A week and a half went by and Layla still didn't have a broom. And I really started to actually see tears come from her eyes.
I was sad. Now, folks, I had named this broom. I had seen these babies from conception. I worked with the hags over at Three Moon Brooms to design these down to the last tiny little detail. They were created as a pair specifically for Shell and I, to my exacting specifications. When I saw the first pictures of these brooms and knew which one was mine, I knew immediately we were soulmates. Her name was Hagatha, and we were meant to be together.
Until the United States Postal Service got involved.
Yeah, I had watched Shell's religiously, making sure it got there on time, just fully expecting mine would get here too. And when it didn't that day, of course, I checked the tracking numbers and pored over everything, and the hags assured me they had never lost a broom. So I got angry a few times with the Postal Service because they would say they were looking for it.
They were testing that theory. They were testing that theory.
And testing my last nerve for sure. But they were persistent. And unfortunately, I got an email from them saying, despite their best efforts, they were unable to locate Hagatha. She had disappeared.
But on the same day Layla got this email, I happened to pay Layla a visit in person. The witch is hanging. It had been a week and a half. I was starting to feel bad because here I have this glorious broom that was gifted to me. And she's over here crying a tear because she never got hers. We were sitting down together and I literally had to put out there, I'm like, release Layla from her karmic debt.
We jokingly were like, you have to let it go, Shell. You have to let this go so I can get her back.
I put so much for the time before on, this is your karma, this is your karma. Ha, 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 ha. Well, apparently I did some bad stuff to you and I had to release your karmic debt.
You did.
I leave the next day. Guess what?
So despite the fact that they sent me a letter saying that Hagatha was lost to the postal universe and that I should just apply for the insurance payment, I tried to tell them this is a one-of-a-kind item made as part of a set. There's no possible way you can replace it with
They
money.
don't give a shit.
They didn't care. But the very next morning, Hagatha showed up on my doorstep.
You know what I think it is? I think that Hagatha the Broom decided, I lifted your karmic debt. She saw how pissed off. Why am I calling it a she? She saw
She
how
is.
she got pissed off at that point at the postal service, and she flew her damn self to your house.
She did. She knew she was meant to be mine and she knew she had to be here. And so, despite everything, she made it. Thank you, Hags,
Oh my
Monica and
God, thank you,
Hesper.
Hags. Thank you, Layla. Like, I can't even tell you guys. I'm gonna post pictures of both Layla and my
Yes.
room. You're gonna be blown away.
They're gorgeous.
Blown
And all
away.
of you that sent energy to have Hagatha come home, thank you. I appreciate it.
It worked.
It did. And they are worth it. It was worth it. I don't know where she went, but apparently she needed to go on a trip before she got to me. But she's home.
Now, Layla, what is the lesson we've learned here? Don't torture me, man.
Oh no, it'll probably still happen again. I mean, I'm fully prepared for the consequences, man. It was way too much fun. So now that we've got our brooms squared away, magical, beautiful, wonderful brooms, I also want to talk about something that I brought up briefly in our last episode where we talked about tarot and journaling. I had made a comment just quickly in that episode about QR codes on your tarot deck, and that if you buy a tarot deck that has a QR code and does not come with a booklet, there's a very good chance that it's a counterfeit deck.
There is nothing worse in all the world. I know people like to go straight to the creator of the deck misses out on their cut of the profit for fakes and all that. I get that part. But from a witchy spiritual aspect, it pisses me off because they are taking something that people hold sacred and special and look at as a magical tool. And they're making it, I don't want to say they're making it bullshit, but kinda.
Yeah. And they're definitely abusing someone's magic and hard work to make a buck.
Yeah.
And I don't love that. I don't love that at all. So we got a message from a gentleman named David who mentioned that he had purchased the Uncommon Tarot by Shaheen Miro at a local metaphysical shop. And he had heard on the podcast that if it had a QR code to download the book, that it might be a counterfeit. And unfortunately, his had come with a QR code. Now, I know that that deck is put out by Wiser, and it actually does come with a book. It should come with a book by Teresa Reed, who I believe did the tarot journal that you and I are both loving.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, not only did he miss out on a book, he missed out on a fabulous book by Teresa Reed, and the deck itself probably is not as glorious as the one by artist Shaheen Miro.
Now, I want to point something out for folks. It isn't so much QR code equals bad, because I have been seeing there are some that are coming out, like some of the Low Scarborough ones are coming out with tarot with QR codes, but you
Right.
are looking for an ISBN number. If it has an ISBN number, you know it's legit. And if it does not, and that's right on the box.
And you can look that up online and check and see if it is the correct ISBN for the deck that you purchased. And like Shell said, sometimes you'll get a deck that's maybe an indie deck or maybe it's a self-printed deck and it might not have an ISBN or a
Right.
booklet. Maybe they decided to save paper or save a little money and use a QR code. So that's just your first clue. You then need to look for the ISBN and then look online. You can look and see someone doing an unboxing. I mean, hell, ask us. Shell's got 100 and almost 80 decks. She very well might have it and can compare it to something in her collection and let you
Right.
know what to look for. But the QR code, that's your first clue. And unfortunately, David purchased this from a metaphysical shop.
You know, at first I wanted to, my first reaction was I wanted to put him on blast, but I took a moment and had an adult thought about it. And this may happen to other people. Don't jump to conclusions and think that your local metaphysical shop is purposely trying to screw you, because they might have been duped too. They might have seen a good deal online for some wholesale stuff from, a website that we won't mention that begins with a T, and they might not know. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Let them know what happened. If it happens again, by all means, flip your shit. Email me. I'll give you some tips on how to freak out on people. But Your initial reaction the first time should be let them know and give them a benefit of the doubt.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And if it's an online shop, if it's Etsy or Amazon, wherever it happens to be, don't buy from someone if they say there's no booklet, it's just a QR code.
Right.
And it's something that you know damn well comes with a book. Don't buy from that shop. But I'm sorry that you got screwed, David. I hope that it works out and you're able to get the correct deck and the book. The Uncommon Tarot is very beautiful. The book's fantastic. So I hope that works out for you. And thank you for letting us know so that we can help other people be on the lookout for counterfeit tarot decks.
And David, also let the shop know, see how it goes, and if it happens again and they don't seem to care, let us know because we'll put them out on blast at that point.
That's true.
I'm a grudge holder.
True.
It's a Gemini
See the
thing.
previous conversation we had about my broom. So that's what witchy stuff is going on this week. The topic this week we're going to get into is grounding and centering, and how some people kind of get the two conflated, and what it means, and how to do it.
Well, and I'm glad you started out with that sometimes confusion because I think sometimes people think it's the same thing and that you have to do both. I've done one, I've done the other, and not necessarily together. They are two separate things.
They are. And I think sometimes when people describe grounding, what they're really describing is centering.
Right.
That's, I think, where a lot of the confusion comes in. So, what we're referring to is probably what most witches, anyone who works with energy, any type of energy worker, and witches certainly qualify, should learn how to handle your energy first. How do you center yourself? How do you ground yourself? How do you deal with the energies that you're working for a spell or a ritual?
You know how I equate it? Remember back in the day when we used to work at the same company in a call center and we were doing like these 8, 9 hour shifts doing like bullshit tech support? The minute we left that job, what was the first thing we did?
Stepped outside, smoked a
Smoke
joint, took a
some.
deep breath, and felt the earth under our feet.
We had to kind of
Grounded, cleansed.
pull ourselves together from that chaos, And if you're an empath, it's even more important because you are literally almost soaking in other people's energy and ook and gook all day.
So definitely a cleansing and then a nice grounding and centering is needed.
Let's kind of define each of them separately. So why don't we talk about grounding first? I always felt like grounding, the first thing I think of is my feet on the ground in the dirt. Planting roots like a damn tree.
Yep, that's definitely the common
Visual.
visualization that a lot of people have for that type of thing.
Like I also kind of look at it like dumping all the energy of the day or the week or whatever, just kind of dumping it into the earth.
Yes, grounding is actually two things. There's grounding that you do as you're centering, and then there's grounding that you do at the end of a spell or ritual. And what we mean is just what Shell said, is seated or with your feet on the earth, literally feeling like you're connecting yourself to Mother Earth,
But if you
connecting
can't be
yourself.
outside, don't freak out and panic. You can do it in your living room on the rug.
Exactly. The idea is to visualize that you feel stable, connected, centered and grounded. The popular idea of grounded is someone who is calm, collected, stable emotions, that they can't be knocked over when things go crazy. And that's the kind of feeling you're looking for when you're trying to be quote unquote grounded magically. That's really what you're trying to do, is you're trying to connect yourself to something more stable than you are so that you can feel secure and safe and centered and ready to do your working. The second type of grounding is what happens after a spell or a ritual. And that's how Shell and I, coming up in magic, learned the term. For us, grounding always means the second part. During a ritual or a spell, the idea is to raise energy, to pull that energy in from yourself, from the items and tools you're using, from the earth, from the universe, and direct that energy out for your intent, to work your will. At the end of a ritual, you're going to have all this residue of energy that you have just been channeling and pushing and moving around you.
Yeah,
It's going
do
to be,
something with it.
Yeah, it's going to be sparking off your fingers. You're going to feel jazzed and upbeat. And one good way to let go of that energy is to ground it by pushing it back into the earth, thanking the earth for that energy and saying, take the extra, leave me with what I need, leave me cleansed and refreshed, but here's all this extra energy for you to transmute and to put back into the world.
And I can give you kind of an example of post spell, post ritual, why is definitely a necessity and something that if you're not currently practicing, you're going to want to infiltrate into your practice. A week or so ago, I had a coven ritual. I went and did ritual with my awesome coven folk, and I wasn't feeling well that night. And normally afterwards, we have a dinner. We'll talk in a minute on using food and such as a grounding mechanism. But our method is we usually have dinner afterwards. I wasn't feeling great, and I knew I was going to wake up in the morning and drive to my BFF, Layla. So I forewent the dinner. And I'm like, I don't feel good. I don't want anything. I'm just going to have my drink of tea. And I'm laying in bed. I can't sleep. I'm looking at my Catan game, thinking I need to bring Layla her Catan piece, but yet didn't get out and get the piece, like tossing and turning. And once I got to sleep, I couldn't stay asleep. And at first I was like, oh, I'm just excited because I'm going to Layla's in the morning. And then in retrospect, I was like, son of a bitch. I just did a full-on ritual with my coven, bypassed the eating part of it, and really never grounded afterwards. And I know better.
Yeah, right.
A lot of folks like to consume something after a spell or a witch ritual. Almost like, how sometimes if you go out drinking, then you need to eat some food to kind of soak it up so you're not hungover. Like literally the same concept. After you've raised all this energy and done all this magic, eat some food, soak it up so that you don't have that magic hangover in the morning.
Exactly. And it does feel like a hangover. Just like Shell said, you might not be able to sleep. You'll be bouncing from thing to thing. You'll be too jazzed up. It's not a comfortable feeling. And eating something can be a great way to get you back into your body, to really feel, be present in your body and in your space. Breathing exercises can help some people. And the tree meditation that we mentioned that can help you be centered is also a way that you can be grounded. Because it's the same type of thing. You connect your feet like roots, you visualize your feet going into the earth, your arms reaching up like a tree, or visualize sitting on a stone or against a tree. It's the same concept. You feel connected to everything, present in your body, and like you can't be knocked over, and like the energy is flowing cleanly and fluidly through you without building up, without excess, just clean, clear, calm energy. So that's where you want to start with being centered, and that's where you want to end with being grounded.
And, centering, I kind of always looked at centering as like pre-ritual and grounding as
Yes.
like post-ritual.
Yeah, me too.
It kind of like the intro and the outro, they're easy to forget, but oh, so important. And the other thing with centering is, and the reason I always liked doing it in the beginning, we all have our day-to-day, our mundane, our shit, and that kind of, for me, it's almost a trigger for that mind shift. Okay, I'm flipping the switch from my mundane work, kids complaining, to we're making magic now.
Right. And especially when I think of centering, I think of gathering my energy in my center, gathering my chi, gathering my magical energy, gathering my breath in my center. And that helps me to feel connected to things. And so if I'm sitting with my root chakra on the ground, with my feet underneath me, and I visualize that, I'm growing roots into the earth, that I can feel one with everything around me. And gather that energy with each breath into just underneath my chest, just above my stomach, with each inhalation, gathering that energy and centering it in a circle right there.
This is when I actually do like what like doctors like to call, this is when I do my diaphragm breathing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
Like
yes.
normally we all live our life almost like kind of shallow breathing. And this is kind of the time to do like that diaphragm breathing.
That nice deep breath, the deep breathing. I love breath work for centering because it really helps me to be present in my body. But in this part of quote unquote centering and grounding, I am connecting to the ground and to the earth, but it's more in a gathering phase. I'm gathering this energy and I'm spreading my legs shoulder width apart. I'm in a secure stance and ready to pull in as much energy as I can to push it out for my spell. So I need to be centered, much like a martial artist finds that center, so that when someone strikes at you or when you push with power, you're not knocking yourself over. You need to be connected to the earth and center that energy so that you can push and pull these forces to work your will without knocking over and without losing control of the spell.
Well, I could see how people kind of think they're the same and kind of rolled into one, because when I do that centering, I don't know, we'll call it exercise for lack of a better word. Like I said, how grounding is like a like you're kind of doing that magical energy dump to get yourself back into that mundane space. I kind of look at centering while I am doing all of the things you just said, but almost like as a precursor, dumping my mundane energy, you know, dumping my week worth of work bullshit, you know, dumping my household bullshit, forgetting about what I have to clean and mop when I get back home, you know, almost like I'm dumping the mundane shit, centering in the magical world, doing magic, and then dumping the excess magical energy.
100%. Yes, it's very much a give and take. It's a shedding of the old and the mundane and what isn't serving you right now, and it's pulling up that clean, clear, magical earth universe energy and cycling that through until you're really into the flow of things and you really have that energy center moving in a beautiful way, and then you're really in magical space. And then at the end of the ritual, after you've pushed all that energy, you then need to ground again. You need to connect to the ground to tap into that so that you can push all that energy back down and again do that energy exchange, but to come back down and come into yourself and come back to just you.
It basically is like the required exercises, so to say, to get you in and back out of magical space.
Absolutely. This was part of Magic Working 101 back when we taught classes, before even we taught people how to raise energy. Because if you don't know properly how to hold it in your center and direct it and then release it back to the earth and let go of it, if you don't know how to do those things, I can't trust you yet to raise energy enough to do even a simple spell.
Then it's all a bunch of chaos magic at that point.
Well, yeah, that
But there's actually kind of like a, there really is a third prong to this. The centering goes hand in hand with the grounding. And the third prong of that is actually cleansing. And I know that we didn't initially say anything about talking about cleansing tonight, but really those three things go hand in hand because generally we cleanse ourselves. However you do it, we've done it with incense, we've done it with water, we've done it with baths, fire, whatever. But we've cleansed ourselves going into space, and we've also cleansed ourselves coming out of space. I think that cleansing is kind of that third prong of those things.
And you can definitely cleanse, like Shell said, with the elements. You can use one or all of them to cleanse yourself, or you can cleanse yourself energetically as you're doing the act of centering and pulling that energy into your center. And then also, as you're grounding at the end, part of the intention should always be to cleanse yourself of the excess energy and visualize being clean and pure and good. And just being left with what you need and what is beneficial for you, and the rest of it is released to the earth to be recycled and reused.
That's why I was saying that, you know, part of centering can really be like that mundane energy dump, getting you into that magical space. And it's really no different, I guess, than cleansing. You're either cleansing the bullshit away to get into space, or you're grounding out the energy and centering out the energy to get into space. So I guess that's why I feel that cleansing is the third prong of that, and that grounding and centering are really almost similar, if not the same, but I've always looked at one as a pre-ritual and one as a post-ritual.
I think the differences are so subtle. I mean, cleansing your energy. You're probably still centering and grounding while you're cleansing that energy, you
Right,
know? So
right, right.
it becomes very easy to conflate all of these together, particularly grounding, because everybody, as soon as you say grounding, everyone's like, oh yeah, visualize your feet going like roots into the earth, or visualize a waterfall just cleansing all the energy and going back into the earth.
Grounding can be taking a shower here, you know?
It can be, yeah, absolutely. But we all have this idea that grounding just means connecting to the earth, and that's just part of it. You know, grounding is connecting to the earth, but it's connecting to the earth for different reasons. It's connecting to the earth and the energies around you to center yourself. And then it's grounding at the end. Again, the term, I guess a lot of old school witches use the term grounding to mean letting that energy go back to the ground. You know, and
Right.
it's something in our old community, we used to have an actual portion of each ritual was set aside for grounding. Every single ritual had that listed as one of the very last things that we would do was literally touch the ground. We would have people get down on hands and knees, lay down on their bellies, on their backs, literally on the ground, and we would talk through a short meditation of letting that energy go, all the energy that we had just raised and released to work our will or to honor the holiday. We now let go all of the excess. And then we would have a feast, cakes and ale afterwards to help continue that grounding process.
Well, and I can't recall an outdoor ritual where either of us wore shoes, so.
No, that's another good way to do it. So do you have to walk barefoot in the grass in order to ground? No.
No.
Like Shell said, you can do that inside in your apartment, on your floors, on your carpet, whatever. It's more of a visualization, sitting up against a tree or walking through the woods until you see a tree that wants a hug, and hugging that tree and feeling that closeness is fucking awesome. But it's not necessary. You can certainly do it energetically and intentionally in your house, in your room, in your car.
And you know, it's the same exact thing with cleansing. You can use any or all of the elements to do that. You know, water, like I said, easy one, take a shower. In the summertime, jump in a lake, jump in the river, jump in the ocean. Air, a lot of people like to fan the incense. Got a PSA on that I'll get to in a second. Fire, some people will cleanse by like sitting and meditating in a circle of lit candles.
Traditionally, just walking through two small lit fires or two lit candles is one way to cleanse with fire, or jumping over a candle.
I can't do that partially because then I get like the whole ADHD giraffe thing and start scrying into the flames. Anywho, you know, and again, there's the earth element. But, you know, when we talk about air and fire, my little PSA for everybody is please be careful. There was a point in our lives where I had this gorgeous waist-long hair. I kind of miss my hair some days, but it was a real hassle, especially when it came to cleansing. And we had a thing in our community and in our coven where we would cleanse each other with the bundles of sage, you know, kind of wipe your aura head to toe in the front, toe to head in the back, kind of thing. Sometimes in a pinch, we would do it ourselves. And I don't know, I was taught you do the front and back. So even when I did it myself, I did the front and back. So imagine waist long hair, burning sage bundle. I actually did light a little bit of my hair on fire one time. Luckily, obviously, I was able to get it handled before there was any serious visual damage. But be careful, people. Fire burns. And I didn't want to cleanse myself of hair, just of bad juju. So, PSA, be careful when using flame.
There you go. Yeah. So if you're going to be passing through candles, you know, tie up your hair.
Well, how
For
many
sure.
times have we almost lit our cloaks on fire or our ritual garb? Like, we need to be careful, folks. Only you can prevent circle fires. Only you. I love that. I love
Sorry,
that.
that was awesome. So yes. So definitely be careful with fire, but there's lots of different ways to cleanse yourself. You could even just sit in the middle of your living room and just imagine that you are in a your favorite place outdoors, that you can feel the grass under your feet, or you're at Joshua Tree sitting on your favorite stone with the sun in your face, and you can sit there and ground yourself that way and cleanse and connect yourself and be centered.
You know what I even did one time when I
What's
lived
that?
in a less than desirable visual location? I went to the dollar store, which by the way, they're like a buck 25 store now. Dollar store is such a lie. They need to change it to the buck 25 store, and got one of those like really pretty calendars. And I happen to be an oceany type lover, so I got a calendar that had 12 different like beachy scenes, and I would each month use the picture of that calendar to kind of put me in a place. At the time, I didn't live anywhere near a damn tropical beach. Not that I do now. It ain't tropical here in Massachusetts by any stretch. But I use that cheap ass dollar store calendar. And, if you're looking for a visual because you don't live near the woods or the water or whatever pulls to your soul, buy a dollar store calendar. That'll take you there.
I love that you said it, that it put you in like a certain place, because that's an important part of centering. And I know that there's someone out there that's like, this is all great, but what the fuck does centering feel like? What do you mean, center? So I just want to take a quick minute and talk a little bit about what centering feels like, because it's pretty simple, actually. If you've ever done any type of meditation, or if you've ever had to take a few deep breaths to relax before something that made you nervous, you were centering yourself. You were grounding yourself. You're trying to use breath work and relaxation techniques to reach a moment of stillness, of quiet, where you at least feel like Shell said, you can let most of your mundane cares and worries flow away, at least for this moment, and just visualize a place where you're happy, a place where you're comfortable. Visualize yourself as someone who is comfortable and happy. And just take those deep breaths to really feel calm and at peace and centered. And that's kind of what you're looking for.
I kind of have like a more short version. I kind of look at it as getting my mind to a calm place where I'm not, that when you're not thinking about anything,
Yes.
that place when nothing is overriding your brain other than being there in the moment. When I get to the point where I'm thinking about nothing other than either my breathing or the water or the ground or the candle flame, whatever the case may be, when I get to the point where that's the only thing in my thoughts, then I know I'm there.
Yes, and that's why this was the first lesson that we would teach people, because it's not always easy to get centered, to get grounded and centered to a place where you're ready to do magic. Being centered and gathering that energy is not something that comes naturally to all of us. So we kind of have to work at it and practice the pulling in of the energy from that calm and centered place, and then the pushing out and releasing of that energy, whether to work the spell or to ground it.
Well, and I think that for those of you that aren't practicing either or both, this is definitely something to look into. Back in our day, 800 years ago, we were literally, unless you did it on your own, obviously, but we were literally not taught anything about magic by anyone until we knew how to handle the energy, bring it in, raise it, and then get rid of it. This was step one, and then magic and spell work was step two, and you did not miss that step. You had to know how to ground and center before you were even allowed to know how to raise the energy.
Because it's very important. I guess it's kind of like learning to drive a car.
Right?
You want to learn how to drive on slower roads, I guess, before you're going 100 miles an hour on a racetrack.
Learn where the brake pedal is before you learn where the gas is.
There you go. But yeah, so learning how to do that, there's a lot of different meditations out there, grounding and centering. But the basic premise is that you want to feel as if mentally, you can't be knocked over. You want to feel calm, collected, and like you are in control of your emotions and that you are clear and present in the moment.
I just thought of another way. If you are a music person and you're really in music is like a part of your soul, I feel like if I didn't have music, I'd die. And I have a couple of songs that I've listened to for several years, and those songs can almost get me into that centered place, that clear mind where nothing else matters. I'm going to do a shameless plug here. For all you Gen Xers who love Billy Joel, he has a little known song from 1972 called Nocturne. Now, this song has no words. It is just this like piano riff that the minute I hear this song, I am on like this grounded and centered magical wave. I don't know how to explain it. So for some people, you might have that one song, like Lorena McKennett songs kind of always get me there. For some strange reason, bagpipes do too. But Just because something works for you and I, it might not work for others, but they can still find a viable way that works.
And there's a ton of stuff online, lots of different meditations and ways to get you grounded and centered. And then afterwards, when you're done with your working, when you're done working that energy, just laying on the ground, sitting on the ground or your floor, put your hands palm down on the floor and visualize all of that energy flowing out of you into the earth and then just leaving you refreshed and energized, but not power drunk, not too much in your head, more just ready, calm, and refreshed. Food is good. Talking to friends, walking around, going for a hike can be good. Leaning up against a tree
Smoking the devil's lettuce.
can help some people and not others. Some people, it's strictly an energy raising thing. Other people, it really helps them to get grounded. You'll have to figure out which type of person you are if that's something that you choose to use. Stones, regular stones can help ground you. It doesn't have to be fancy crystals. Potted plants, if you're a plant witch and you have plants in your house, go water your plants and push some of the energy into them to help you release that and ground it.
Or you can even just place like your fingertips or what have you in the dirt around your plant base. And even if you don't have like ground per se, you can use the dirt in that pot is like your quote unquote ground.
There was a witchy couple in our community that had out in front of their front door those ginormous plant pots that some people have like trees and shit in on their front porch. Theirs was just dirt so that you could stick your hands in it to ground yourself either before or after ritual. But it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It can be your favorite worry stone or piece of pottery. It could be, like
A
I
cup
said,
of
just
tea.
going for a walk, a cup of tea. It could be sitting down with a mug of tea and just letting all that excess energy drain out. Now, you want to take care in your visualization that you're not completely draining yourself at this point. That's part of the practice and taking care of energy work. At the end, you want to ground yourself so that you're left refreshed and happy and cleansed, not wiped out.
Right. So I think the moral of the story is these two witches here recommend grounding, centering, and cleansing whenever you're doing spell work or magic. And it's just not a bad practice every day.
And you're going to hear people refer to grounding at the beginning and grounding at the end. And they're kind of the same.
But kind of not.
Yeah, kind of not. They're both connecting to the earth. They're both connecting to everything, all of the elements. But one of them is to raise energy and to be prepared to do spell work. And one of them is to release the energy and to complete your spell work. Same word, two slightly different things.
Tomato, tomato.
There you go. And centering can be gathering energy, or it can also be helping you to slow down.
So we hope we're able to give you a good idea of our views and opinions on grounding and centering. If you have any other weird, wacky ways, shoot us an email. We would love to hear about how you ground and center. Don't forget, this is super important. You don't see a lot about this in some of the stuff online, but just remember, this is an important piece to that magical puzzle. So everybody get grounded, everybody get centered, and
Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on backonthebroomstick.com, our Instagram at backonthebroomstick. Thank you all so much for the stars, the likes, the following, the subscription. Oh, let's give a shout out to the people who have subscribed. We appreciate you so much. We do have a subscription option in all the show notes to help us with the behind the scenes costs and to help us to get to festivals and workshops this year. So those of you who have already subscribed, we appreciate you and thank you so, so much.
and you're also going to find in the show notes a link to the beautiful Three Moon Brooms and the hags over there. And we'll make sure that you have all of the info to hunt down your perfect broom. Love you guys. Thank you, Three Moon Brooms. We love you.
Thank you guys so much, and thank all of our listeners. We will see you next week. Stay wise, stay wicked, and as always,
Keep it witchy.